John chapter 5 reads, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed." Where we left off last week, Jesus was in Judea, a city called Cana. And now Jesus has made the trip back to Jerusalem, as chapter 5, verse 1 lets us know. He made the 3-day, roughly, trip, about 70 miles, to go back to Jerusalem for a feast. And as Jesus enters Jerusalem, the scriptures let us know that he made a stop by a pool surrounded by people who had a whole lot of problems. See, these people had issues that would have caused them to be outcast, ostracized, rejected. The kind of people that if you walk by, they would have to tell you unclean, like, stay away, have the cooties, you know, circle, circle, yeah, all that good stuff. They would have pushed you away. Don't come by me. I'm not the kind of person that you can hang around. I'm contagious. I may cough or sneeze on you. But yet here we see Jesus entering Jerusalem, the place where the temple of God resides. And the first stop that we read of in his trip into Jerusalem is by a pool surrounded by people with a whole bunch of problems. May it not be lost on us that this is a significant moment, that Jesus is not looking to run from people with problems, but he's looking to press into the lives of people with problems. He seeks out those who are lost, those who are broken, those who are rejected. He didn't find himself going into the temple trying to find an audience with the religious elite, trying to make sure that he made his presence known so that he can lay a groundwork for the next conference so that thousands of people can come and hear him. No, he went to the people that nobody else wanted to be around, because the Lord loves those who need to be loved on the most. Now, you may be thinking to yourself in this moment that I don't connect with this story because I'm not blind, lame, and paralyzed. But Jesus doesn't just press into those who are broken physically. He also presses into relationships with those who are broken spiritually, emotionally, mentally. God presses into the lives of the broken. And for what purpose? Well, let's continue to read the story. In verse 5, it says, "One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said, 'Do you want to be healed?' Now Jesus sees one man who the Bible says has been an invalid for 38 years. The life expectancy of an individual in the first century was 30 to 35 years. This man had been living with a sickness longer than most people were expected to be alive. Now, what you'd have to understand about John is that while John tells us in chapter 20, his whole purpose for writing this gospel was so that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son, you'd also have to read through John's writings to understand that John had no problem dealing with the difficulty of the dichotomy of Christ as 100% man, 100% God. And so John doesn't just paint Jesus as a superhero, he also paints Jesus as a human. And so as we learned a couple of weeks back in chapter 4, when Jesus came from Judea headed to, or from Jerusalem headed to Judea, he said he stopped in Samaria, and John tells us that Jesus was wearied as he journeyed in John 4, chapter 6. So he tells us that Jesus needed something to drink. Jesus needed something to eat. This journey that he was on actually wore him out, and he had to make a pit stop halfway through. So John lets us see that Jesus is a human. He feels. He needs sustenance. He knows what it's like to deal with temptation and pain. And so John, here in chapter 5, verse 6, speaks to the humanity of Jesus a little bit more. He tells us that Jesus saw this person who had been ill for 38 years. And in seeing him, this person stood out. Now imagine how this person must have looked. You're at a poolside that's surrounded by people with problems and you stand out. That's not the crowd that you want to stand out in. I may want to stand out if we're talking about we're in a crowd of the who's who and you are who we need to know. Yes, come and see me. But a crowd of broken people that look a mess and you look around and say, whoa, what happened to him and why? I mean, that's this guy. So Jesus didn't walk in. He didn't say, and there was an angel that rested and said, Jesus, speak to this person. No, Jesus saw this invalid who had been sick and broken longer than most people were expected to live and wondered, what is his story? And the scripture tells us there, and Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been there a long time. So Jesus saw him, and then Jesus learned about his story. See, we'll again try to just say, well, Jesus knows everything, so he already knew what he went through. No, Jesus, when he came from heaven to earth, he relinquished some rights, some power and authority as God the Son so that he can take on flesh and humble himself and to the point of death. So Jesus would have had to gather some information. So Jesus saw this person. He learned this person's story, and he was moved with compassion to reach out to this individual. This week, reading through this story has been breaking some layers around my heart in ways that I don't know if I'll be able to share today or not, but I felt the weight of this story. We're talking about being seen. Jesus saw this person and wanted to know about this individual. Other people just walked over him, walked around him, didn't care to know his name. Jesus wanted to know his story. But not just so he could talk about him, but so that he can go and help him. And he asked the question, do you want to be healed? Now listen, someone told me a long time ago, Michael, don't scale the fish before you get it in the boat. We see nothing in this story right now about faith. Jesus is moved because he sees a broken person that's in need of some help. Jesus doesn't look and say, hey, I can heal you, but I want to know, what are you going to do with this healing after I heal you? Jesus doesn't inquire about, what did you do to get here? Do you deserve it? No, Jesus sees, he knows, and he presses in. He says, can I help you? Can you imagine if we would just have a heart like Christ and meet people where they are? Evangelism, we talk about it a great deal. How many people have you won for Christ? How many notches do you have on your belt? When people find out that I'm a pastor and they hear my answer to this question, they always raise their eyebrows when I tell them none. You've won no one to Christ? No. I planted some seeds and I've watered them. But if anybody comes to Jesus, trust me, it's not because I saved them. So when we go and we share the gospel with others, how do we do that? Do we just see somebody and say, hey, you're going to hell, get saved or get left? Or do we say, hey, would you like to grab a cup of coffee? I'd love to know your story. How'd you get to where you are? I'd love to just sit down and know your heart. Oh, we're going to get to Jesus, but first I want to get to you. And as I get to know you, then I can know how to better serve you and minister to your needs. And then we'll press in a little bit further from there. Are we so quick to try to get to an end game so that we can get a notch that we just leave people laying by the poolside who are in desperate need of someone to come to them? Because so many people are just saying, oh, you deserve to be there. Well, you know what? So do I. But I'm so glad that we have a Jesus that comes into Jerusalem and looks to press in to people's problems. So Jesus presses in. Do you want to be healed? And this man turns to Jesus and answers him back. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Now, Jesus enters Jerusalem and he sees this person's pain and his problems because it's written all over his body. And he learns of his story. But you'd have to understand that this person didn't need someone to tell him his story. He's been dealing with his sickness and his situation for 38 years. And so while it seems like he just didn't answer the question, and I even read over and I was like, see, that's the problem now. That's at least what I thought on Monday, was just answer the question. Do you want to be healed? Yes or no? What are you talking about getting in a pool? Did I ask you about a pool? I just said, did you want to be healed? Now, that's where I was on Monday. But come Friday, actually Saturday last night, as our family gathered around a circle, I was snotting at the thought that I answered Jesus the same way. See, because I know my situation, I'm very aware of my sickness. And while you invite me to be healed, I see how broken I am. And I'm having a hard time reconciling. Can you really heal me? It almost felt like, well, if I could be healed, I would have done that a long time ago. Clearly, I've run out of answers and I've found nothing but problems, so I'm just a broken man. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around the thought that there might be a chance that I could be healed. See, in year one, I was a little bit optimistic. Year two, I was still holding on. By year five, I was like, I may need to figure out a plan to just live with this thing. By year 20, I was done. This now defines me. It's who I am. It's what I've done. Now I just have to live with it for the rest of my life. And Jesus enters in and says, do you want to be healed? And we look back at him and said, I would have loved to. But I'm a lost cause at this point. These problems are too heavy. Unclean. Unclean. We probably can identify with this sick man in a very significant way. Healing is at our door. And yet, we see and we filter it through the lens of sickness, through the lens of our situations, through the lens of shame, through the lens of guilt. And then instead of inviting healing in, tell healing arm's distance away. Maybe somebody else on the other side of the pool can use your help. But not me. I'm done. But Jesus doesn't just walk away. Jesus said to him, verse 8, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Having a conversation with one of my daughters yesterday and talking about this passage, and it's like, well, how did he know to get up and walk? You know, have you ever been so broken, maybe physically, that when your body started to heal, you knew it was getting better? You know, when you have 38 years of brokenness and your joints start to come back into place, you know, I don't know what to call it, but I haven't felt that one in 30 years. Like, there's something happening in that ankle bone. I mean, you know, you're so broken that when you experience breakthrough, nobody needs to convince you. I really don't want to share it. The Lord's going to have to deal with me for a few more minutes. When you experience breakthrough, nobody needs to tell you what it is that's touched your life. a brokenness so deep that nobody can touch. And God comes in to your situation and says, I've got you. I know it may not look like much to you, but it means the world to me. It means the world to me when Christ comes into my life and starts to work on my heart. I can feel that thing. Now, it's not based on a feeling. But I'm telling you, when it was a brokenness that I can feel, I know when Christ has come in and when he's doing something different. So this would have been significant for an individual who has almost four decades of brokenness to have life spoken into his body. I don't know what it looked like, but I told you I have a great imagination. So I imagine this person laid out on his cot, lame and broken, and his body is just feeling the healing virtue of God go through it, and everything is just starting to work and function in a way where he's, huh. I imagine it's like someone who's a quadriplegic saying, hey, I can move my toe, and next thing you know, I can feel my feet and my legs, and next thing you know, you get up and walk. I mean, you can feel and you can see that and you can sense that. So when Jesus tells him that you have been healed, get up and take up your bed, I feel this thing. I've got it, and I'm gone. There's so much more in this text that I feel to share. Allow me to park here for just a moment. Something that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart as I was walking through this word this week is that the cot that you're carrying is to remind you that you're no longer crippled. And it's so that you can show somebody else that there's a compassionate Christ that wants to press into their problems. You know, I've been carrying a cot for some time, wanting to share the love of Jesus. But the truth is, I oftentimes felt like I was laying down, still broken. And it's a difficult area to balance. You know, for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to believe that you have been saved by grace through faith, yet to still recognize some situations in your life that cause you to hold on to shame and guilt. It's hard to wrestle with. It's truly difficult to deal with and to balance. And it's easy to just walk past this story and then jump into the fact that the Jews, the religious leaders, almost missed what God was doing because they were more concerned about the Sabbath. Or to talk about the sick person who almost missed his blessing because he was more focused on his situation. But we too can miss it if we just look at this story and think of the sign and not realize the reason why Jesus did what he did. It was so that he can show that he is the Son and that others would believe in him. Do we believe enough to take up our cot and walk for Jesus? Or do we still find ourselves laid out, carrying shame and guilt? Do you find yourself dealing with things from your past that you hide? Because if somebody else knew, they might talk bad about you. If somebody else knew, they may look to stone you. Look at this passage here. As we read some more, verse 9, it's not up on the screen, but just stay with me for a moment. This is an 11th hour change. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews, the religious leaders, said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. Now, if you looked at Numbers, I believe around chapter 15, there's a story that's told of a man who did some work on the Sabbath and he was stoned to death. So this man going to the religious leaders and letting them know that he took up his bed on the Sabbath, they said that's unlawful. And according to Numbers, when you break the Sabbath, that's a stoning waiting for you. But why did this man get up and walk? And then at that, walk into the temple where he could be questioned and where he could possibly be killed? Well, it was one reason. The man. The man who said, take up your bed and walk. I listened to what he said. I wasn't worried about what other people would say. I wasn't concerned about the judgment that other people would press on me. But because he told me that I'm healed to get up and walk, I don't care if it was Sunday. In this case, it would have been Saturday. I don't care if it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, religious holiday or not. It doesn't matter. For nearly 40 years, my life has been in shambles. And this man comes by and tells me that I can be healed, and he does it. Look, forget your traditions, forget your programs, forget whatever you think I need to do and whatever box you want to put me in. He told me that I was healed. I don't care what you have to say. The man. Not Jesus. He didn't even know it was Jesus. Yeah, he didn't know what man it was. See that as you continue reading the story. But it was enough that Jesus said, get up and walk. I didn't always believe that to be true. There were a couple of wrinkles in my testimony that I kept to myself because I felt like if I shared the fullness of my story, I would possibly be disqualified. People would look at me differently, question whether or not God called me. And I feel like in this place, there's some that understand the weight of that thought. How it causes you to color the picture just a little bit differently. Oh, no, you believe that you're healed. You believe that the man, Jesus the Christ, told you to get up. You just don't know if you could go into the temple and share it with other people because they may stone you. They may look at you awkward. They may walk out on you. They may say that you're not saved. When I was 18 years old, I made a decision that completely shook my world. Not at 18. I was doing everything I thought I was big and bad enough to do. It wasn't until I got saved that I realized the weight of the decision I made when I was 18. And then it was about 2 years after coming to Christ that I started to feel some shame and guilt about a decision that I made when I was 18 years old. And it wasn't until yesterday evening when I sat around my family and shared with them the shame that I had been carrying for 22 years. Well, I preached the goodness of God in the land of the living, and I believe it to be true. But there was something in my past that nobody could know. The Pool of Bethesda. Because if I told you, you'd see my sickness. But I thought I was healed. But yesterday evening, I got a breakthrough that I just can't keep to myself. And I'm trying to keep it to myself. It was one of those breakthroughs where I didn't need you to tell me anything. I mean, we wept together. Literally, you can't even call it crying. It was one of those, just give me a moment because I can't get all the words out, kind of a cry. And over 22 years, I've never cried, I've never wept, I've never shared the level of brokenness, and I didn't experience the true healing that Christ intended for me. You see, I made a decision because I had a child at 16 that at 18 I couldn't deal with two. So I'll let you deal with how to tell your younger children, but my children know that I made a choice not to have two. And so when I communicate to people that I am the chief of sinners, I believe it to be true. That's not me trying to show up Paul. That's me believing that I don't have a right to tell God what he needs to do for me. But I come broken, laid out by a pool, filled with shame, guilt, and pain, hearing a Christ that says, I love you. And I want you to know that you're loved. And you know, on that day, yesterday evening, my 12-year-old cried out and told me, it doesn't matter what you've done, we still love you. And when she laid her head on my stomach to comfort me, I couldn't have been any closer to Jesus than in that moment. And for the first time in 22 years, I felt like my cot could be carried and leveraged so that others might know that there's a Christ that has compassion and presses into our pain and looks to rescue us. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what has you laid out by the pool, riddled with problems, guilt, and shame. But Jesus didn't do what he did so that we could lay there feeling guilty. He says, get up and walk. And you don't have to run and hide anymore. You can show yourself to the religious elite. You can go and talk to whomever you want. And listen, if this place is empty next Sunday, I don't care, because nobody has a heaven to put me in or a hell to send me to. That man who hung on that cross and died for my sins told me to get up and walk. And for far too long, I've looked at other people wondering, what will they think about me? What will they say about me? Aren't you tired of living that way? I mean, if this is true, why do I have to carry shame, guilt, and pain? I know it didn't go well. I know I've made some choices that make my life look ugly. I know that I should be screaming out unclean, but I've been cleaned. I've been cleaned. The blood of Jesus, the Bible tells me, has washed away my sins. And now as far as the east is from the west, my sins have been taken care of. Then why am I still laying on this cot when Christ told me to get up and walk? And please hear my heart. Matter of fact, let's take it a little bit deeper. Hear the heart of God. I'm not telling you that it's easy. I've been here preaching for nearly 10, 11 months now. And I just shared with you that it was yesterday. I would like to have told you that it was 10 years ago, but it wasn't. So I don't know what your yesterday for breakthrough will be, but I truly believe with everything in my heart that the Holy Spirit said breakthrough is in this place on this day. And you don't have to leave here the same way you came. We all come from different backgrounds. People talk about denominations. Forget all that stuff. This is the Word of God. So I'm not going to try to convince you of a prophetic anointing, but I'm telling you that breakthrough is in this place on this day. And if you can admit to the shame that you've been laying on, and respond to the word of God that says, get up and walk, then you don't have to leave here the same way you came in. You don't have to be concerned about how will they see me? How will they receive me? Jesus has already received you. So while we talk about being all in and being in community, if you come to Jesus, you are already a part of the body of Christ. And if you continue to walk with Jesus, heaven is your home. What more validation do you need? People get all excited because the numbers keep seemingly increasing. Well, there were 100 people a few weeks ago. Last week, there were 154. Listen, if there were 10 people, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the presence of God is here. We don't do what we do for numbers. So then if we don't do what we do for numbers, then sharing the truth shouldn't be a problem. Because this is not a performance. So you and I need to take up our cots. Take up your bed and walk. And may that cot be a reminder that you're no longer crippled. So stop acting like it. And share your story. Because somebody else needs to know that there's a compassionate Christ who presses in to problems. See, I didn't start sharing this testimony until I sat down with a brother on Monday. And then on Thursday, I had the opportunity to meet with regional directors for the Humane Society, people who I never met before. And it felt appropriate in that moment to share my testimony with them, though there were, at that point, were only two people who knew my story, my wife and this brother in Christ that I shared it with on Monday. And when I shared it with these regional directors for the Humane Society, they had a whole different complexion on the magnitude of this problem because they thought that it was just the women that suffer. They said they never realized it was something that men deal with as well. And so now they've asked me to come back and pray over their staff and to share my testimony with them. I don't say that to give glory to myself, but simply to say that the story of what God has brought you out of, he wants to leverage to help somebody else come out of the mess that they find themselves in. But when we hold on to shame and guilt from what God has delivered us from, there's somebody else by the pool that's dealing with problems that don't realize that they don't have to stay in that painful place any longer. So may God leverage every ounce of what he's brought you and I out of. Not to make us look good, but so that he can be glorified. He didn't bring us to this place so that we can have our holy huddle and feel safe. No, he saved us so that he could send us out into this community and let people who are unclean, discarded, just forgotten about, know that Jesus loves you. No, he doesn't love you when you get yourself together. He loves you where you are right now. And he sent me here to simply let you know that. Well, how? By giving you this sandwich. No strings attached. I don't need to come to church with you on Sunday. Absolutely not. There's nothing else you need to do. I just want to meet you at the point of your need. I simply want to let you know that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, that you are worth being loved. No matter how ugly your life seems, no matter how shameful people have made you feel, right there, right by the pool, you're worth it. You're worth me getting down on the floor and sitting next to you and talking to you in your pain. No, you don't have to come up to me. I want to come to you and just sit with you, walk with you, love on you, And I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be next year. I don't know if it'll be 10 years from now. But I just want to love you where you are. No strings attached. There's nothing else you need to do. You don't ever have to pay me back. You don't ever have to tell anybody what I've done. You don't even need to know my name. But for God's glory, may my messy past help you to recognize that God has a promising future for you. I never in 22 years would have thought to share that story with anybody. But I had a breakthrough last night because a man decided to come to my pool and have a conversation with me. Because Jesus didn't just look to hang out with the religious elite, but he said, I want to see the people who are broken and in need of a savior. I feel so free. I pray that you can feel this freedom. I used to think that my freedom would come when I found the it that I was looking for. I thought that when I became a pastor, that then it would be complete. But you know what? After last night, I don't ever have to preach again. There's nothing that I'm pursuing. I have a peace. I have a peace that allows me to stand flat-footed and just share the gospel in ways that I didn't think that I could, that I actually got nervous to. And if I could just in real time tell you the truth, I was even struggling for the first 20 minutes because I didn't want to share. Because I wasn't quite sure how it would be received. And we have guests. We have visitors. The pastor has to look like he has it all together and figured out. Nobody wants a pastor that just got a breakthrough yesterday. It's a little sketchy. What does that mean about the last 11 months of preaching? Do we just scratch that? I was like, what do you do with that? You just got your breakthrough. What does that mean for me? You know what, though? I'm carrying my cot. And it's a reminder for me that I'm no longer crippled. So I don't need to act like it. So now I can go wherever God sends me, say whatever he tells me, do whatever he wants of me. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks because I'm free. I don't need you to convince me. I felt it when it went through my body. Because after 22 years of broken, I feel something different. It's palatable. It's real. I'm whole. And if you're in this place on this day, then the Lord has sent you because he wants you to be whole too. He didn't take me what he took me through this week so that I can show off freedom and healing, but so that he can show that he wants to bring freedom and healing to you all as well.